Recently, I shared about the doves of the Lord using the scripture from Isaiah 60, verse 8, which says, "Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows?" I shared about each dove receiving a scroll connected to their window or dove portal. For some days now, as I have taken my seat at my desk and focused on what the Lord wants to say to me, a dove has begun to coo loudly outside my window. As I closed my eyes to listen to it on the first day, a scripture popped into my mind. It was from Song of Songs 2, verse 10. "My beloved speaks and says to me, 'Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land.'" When I looked into the Hebrew for the words "rise up," I discovered it is the word "kum." Q-U-M. How amazing the Lord is to make the sound of the dove just like this Hebrew word. Kum, kum, meaning rise up, rise up. It also means to become powerful, to come on the scene, to stand, to endure, to persist, to be fixed, or to be set. What a treasury of meaning in one word. The phrase "come away" in Hebrew also means to go forward or to flow. So what is the word of the Lord to his doves in this season when he says, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away"? In those words in Hebrew is hidden the message, arise, be set in place, be fixed, stand and endure, become powerful, move forward now and flow with my spirit. Then the Holy Spirit directed me to read the account of Jesus raising up the daughter of Jairus. He took her hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," meaning "little girl, arise," in Aramaic. Kumi, arise, sounds very similar to the Hebrew kum, also meaning arise. I noticed that the command from his mouth was accompanied by the touch of his hand as he raised her up. With that sound and that touch, resurrection power was released. Habakkuk 3 tells us that in his hand is the hiding place of his power. In a time when the sound of mourning fills the air, Jesus releases resurrection life and power with a personal word and a touch of his hand. That little girl was 12 years old, 12 being the number of governmental authority and apostolic assignment. I want you to know, dove of the bridegroom, in a time when the situation in the natural has gone from bad to worse, to hopeless, and Jesus seems to be delayed. In a time when death seems to have got the upper hand and the power of man to change the status quo is useless. At that time, Jesus enters the house and the first thing he does is bring separation. He tosses out the mourners, the ones who are using their mouths to sing songs of death and loss, and he allows only those whom he knows possess faith for the impossible into the inner chamber. At that time when darkness and wailing is in the streets, he comes and speaks a tender personal word and raises up that child on the brink of womanhood. Where death has staked its claim at the beginning of her season of being able to bring forth fruit of the womb, at the start of the coming of age, that time of ability to walk in governmental authority and receive apostolic deployment blueprints. At that time, death has staked its claim, making it look utterly impossible for any dream or plan of the future to be fulfilled. At that time, him who is the resurrection and the life comes, and he not only speaks, but he imparts the essence of who he is. There may be darkness and mourning outside, but inside the inner chamber, light and life are casting aside the grave clothes. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness, death, sorrow, misery, and destruction shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen on you." And as I pondered this beautiful scene, when Jesus raised the little girl, I heard my father's voice speak tenderly, "Kum, daughter, kum," from the depression and frustration in which circumstances have set you. Arise to a new life, a life of soaring on eagle's wings above the desert plains, your wings dripping with the oil of the righteous, the oil of joy. Come higher, come higher. Daughter, use the stormy winds to thrust you up into the heavenly realm. Use what the enemy intends for evil, for good. I will give you eyes to see and ears to hear, even in the darkest night of trial. I will be a lamp to your feet and a light to your consecrated path. I will not let you stumble. My angels are assigned you. They know their orders. They know your appointed path. You are surrounded by blessing, surrounded by heaven's sound, heaven's light, heaven's provision. The earthly Mount Zion is defiled and will be further defiled. Plug in higher, connect to the heavenly Mount Zion, for the set time to have mercy on her has come. Find yourself amongst the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. Find yourself surrounded by multitudes of angels. You are safe here. Beloved remnant, if you look with your natural eyes at what is unfolding on the earth, you will see death and destruction rampaging. It must come. Jesus spoke of these days we are entering. And now that we are here, hear his voice urging you to come, to arise and go forward with him. Feel the touch of his hand as he imparts to you the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which sets you free from the law of sin and death. He wants to take you higher, to place you in the cleft of the Rock of Ages, where you and he can share sweet fellowship. He wants to fix you in heavenly places, far above the terrible shaking that has only just begun in the earthly realm. Songs 2 verse 14 says, "O my dove, you are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for sweet is your voice, and your face is beautiful." The first thing Jesus did after lifting the daughter of Jairus to her feet was to tell those present to feed her and keep what happened in the inner chamber to themselves. Precious saint, there is food for you, a private feast of spiritual nourishment, choice words from your beloved's lips just waiting for you. There is that scroll in your dove window written specifically for you, his very words with their creative power. Weave new garments for a new season, new mantles. There are impartations assigned you as part of your inheritance. He is calling you higher still. Come away with him, flow with his spirit, and be led to the place of being made powerful, full of power, so that you may stand and endure. Hear the voice of the dove that sounds even now as I write this. Coom, coom. Arise, my love. The grave no longer has a hold on you. Death has lost its sting. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us as believers. Before Ruth visited Boaz at the threshing floor, death had a hold on her. All inheritance was locked up because she was a widow. There was wealth waiting in the wings, but she had no ability to access it herself. She had to come under the wing of the kinsman redeemer in order for the hold of death on her inheritance to be broken. When Boaz spoke and claimed her in the gates, when he took her hand under the chuppah and took her as his wife, the portal of inheritance opened. When Jesus took the hand of the little girl under the shroud of her father's tallit, the sound of his voice and the touch of his hand unleashed the sluice gates of the portal of resurrection life and power. We have entered the dispensation of the fullness of times spoken of in Ephesians 1, where he is gathering all together in Christ, and we are those who are intended to live for the praise of his glory. Do you see this? Not the praise of his grace, but his glory. Listen carefully. Ephesians 1 verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. That we should be to the praise of his glory. Saint, may the rich, glorious riches of his inheritance in you be unlocked and accessed in this hour. May the immeasurably great power that is available to us as believers be not only head knowledge, but heart revelation, and may you flow forward in the manifestation of that resurrection power in the days ahead. This scripture, which I'm going to read now, is my prayer for us all as we arise and stand fast, as we come seated with him in heavenly places. Ephesians 1 verse 17, it is the prayer of Paul. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you may know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in his set apart ones. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited greatness of his power in and for us who believe, demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places. May the Lord add understanding and wisdom and encouragement and counsel to everything I've shared, in Jesus' name.